It's Coast to Coast AM on Sunday night, and this is Ian Punnett with a face for radio and a voice for print, asked to step in here on Sunday. Looking forward to this. It's going to be a great show. I really love this book. I wish I could just show you pages from it over the radio. Can't. We put a link up on our website to our guest coming up next hour, Oberon Zell Ravenheart. He's co-author of a book on the wizard's bestiary, or I guess we could say bestiary, but you know how it's spelled. Anyway, the important part is it's all about mythological, are they? Not necessarily. And cryptozoological, are they? Not necessarily. All of the magical beasts of your dreams and fairy tales, and the guy who says that they may not be as magical and or as secretive as you might think. He's gotten to know many of them. He's helped raise some of them. We'll talk about life as a wizard coming up next hour with our guest Oberon Zell Ravenheart. Looking forward to this too. It's a very clever compendium. It's a collection of every single animal that you have ever heard of or wished that someday you would see or ride. And we'll talk about that coming up next hour. We'll do some open lines this hour. Some response to last night's show in the email segment, and then some crypto news to get us started. The latest about Guantanamo, and it's coming very close to the top, plus a truly artificial heart, and the latest on the environment and on spy chips, the RFID monitoring that's going on in England. Some of these stories you may have heard. I know a couple of them you definitely haven't. Next on crypto news to get us started on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Looking forward to open lines coming up in just a few minutes, but first some crypto news to report on Coast to Coast AM on this very lazy day for me. Guantanamo Bay Naval Base, Cuba. The chief of the U.S. military said Sunday that he favors closing Guantanamo as soon as possible because he believes negative publicity worldwide about the treatment of terrorist suspects has been, quote, pretty damaging to the image of the United States. I'd like to see it shut down, said Admiral Mike Mullen in an interview with three reporters who toured the detention center with him on his first visit since becoming chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff last October. You know, closing it down because it's bad for our image isn't quite the principle that I would have preferred, but who's going to get picky? You know, it would be nice if they closed it down, not because it was just making us look bad, but because constitutionally speaking, or perhaps just from a standpoint of human rights speaking, it was not good. But I know that one or two things have trickled out of Guantanamo that are supposed to have been helpful. The rest, according to many people on the inside, have not been very productive. After all, University of Minnesota researchers have created a beating heart in the laboratory. That's at the U. That's probably about 5 minutes from me as the crow flies. By using a process called whole organ decellularization, scientists from the U for cardiovascular repair grew functioning heart tissue by taking dead rat and pig hearts and reseeding them with a mixture of live cells. The research will be published online in the January 13th issue of Nature Medicine. The doctor, Dr. Doris Taylor, who has like 12 degrees and has a list of credentials longer than my whole resume, said the idea would be to develop transplantable blood vessels or whole organs that are made from your own cells so they can grow hearts. Have you seen the video for this yet? Is it just a story here big in the upper Midwest? Well, keep an eye out for it if you haven't seen it yet. University of Minnesota researchers, they put out a video, you can see it, of this small beating heart. It's kind of scary, but just in the nick of time. I mean, they may need a few replacement hearts to replace the broken ones in Indianapolis and Dallas and the ones that stopped in San Diego when that guy from the Colts dropped the ball with seconds to play and a wide open field in front of him. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a Colts fan tonight, defending world champs, knocked out of the playoffs to the Chargers, but go Chargers. Next year in California, State regulators are likely to have the emergency power to control individual thermostats, sending temperatures up or down as they feel is important through a radio-controlled device that will be required in new or substantially modified houses and buildings to manage electricity shortages. The proposed rules are contained in a document circulated by the California Energy Commission, but the changes would allow utility companies to adjust customers' preset temperatures when the price of electricity is soaring. Now, for the time being, customers could override the utility's, quote, suggested temperatures, but in emergencies, the utilities could override the customer's wishes. So let me see if I got this straight. Backed by the state, private industry is going to control how warm or cold a private citizen can have it in his or her house. Is there any other word for that other than fascism? Environmental fascism, maybe? Or perhaps conservation fascism? But doesn't fascism have to be in that description somewhere? It's not quite totalitarianism, but we're getting closer. If they'll be able to regulate the temperature in your own house, in your own bedroom, based on some chart somewhere that the state says they must maintain. I find that the scariest thing I have heard in weeks. Remember we having this conversation on New Year's Eve about freedoms? Okay, that starts getting really weird to me. Plans in England to implant machine-readable microchips under the skin of thousands of offenders as part of an expansion of the electronic tagging system would create more space in the British jails. That's the proposal. Amid concerns about the security of existing tagging systems and prison overcrowding, the Ministry of Justice in England is investigating the use of satellite and radio wave technology to monitor criminals. But instead of being contained in bracelets worn around the ankle, the tiny chips would be surgically inserted under the skin of offenders in the community to help enforce home curfews. The radio frequency identification, the RFID tags, as long as 2 grains of rice, are able to carry scannable personal information about individuals, including their identities, their address, and offending record. The tags, labeled spy chips by privacy campaigners, whom we've had on this show, are already used around the world to keep track of dogs, cats, cattle, and airport luggage. There's no record of the technology being used to monitor offenders in the community yet. The chips are also being used and considered as a method of helping to keep order within prisons. Now, I don't know about that last part, but I don't know about you, but I think this would be okay with me. Give me my freedom. Let me get out of jail early. If I have to have a spy chip in my buttocks, count me in. I'm good with that. If the state gives me a choice for my freedom, I'm okay with that. But the first day that my sentence is up, I'm grabbing the nearest penknife, for that matter, the nearest rusty penknife, and I'm digging that thing out of my buttocks once and for all. So, yeah, I think that's different to me than the state controlling thermostats, but the stories do overlap a little bit. Increasing amounts of ice mass have been lost from West Antarctica and the Antarctic Peninsula over the past 10 years, according to research from the University of Bristol published online this week in the Nature Geoscience. You can find it. I think this was a fizzorg.com story. Meanwhile, the ice mass in East Antarctica has been roughly stable with neither loss nor accumulation over the past decade. So if you look at the maps, you'll see it's really weird. It's almost split right down the middle. And the western part of Antarctica is just shrinking rapidly. Anybody want to set up a bet on how long it'll take before Antarctica is growing trees? How about palm trees? Well, meanwhile, a tree grows in Manhattan, a couple million of them maybe, squat, homely, dwarfed by stately oaks and poplars, and unnoticed by tourists passing in horse-drawn carriages. There's an interesting story about a 100-year-old European beech tree on the Central Park's Cherry Hill. It was the center of attention on Thursday, chosen by city officials as the first 25, quote, historical trees to be cloned as part of a plan to add 1 million new trees to public spaces over the next decade. Agricultural students from a Queens high school went up on hydraulic-powered tree trimmer buckets to upper branches of a 60-foot tree and snipped off 6 to 12-inch sections of new growth, which will then be sent to a scientific tree nursery in eastern Oregon. If all goes well, the genetic match saplings will return in 2 years to be replanted as part of the Million Trees NYC project announced last spring. I think that's very cool. Kind of goes to what we were talking about last night about making sure that we have sort of a seed bank, too, to keep track of someday should we ever need to reseed the population. But a European beech tree? A European beech tree is the first? Will that make its offsprings sons of beeches? Hey, Ian, I was listening to the interview with Miriam Delicato last night, and for the life of me, I can't understand this. Why do the aliens always go to some obscure person, tell them the world is going to end, and then give them a mission to spread the word? When they spread the word, the books they sell never make it onto the New York Times bestseller list. And as in the case of Ms. Delicato, she waits almost 20 years to get the book out after her encounter, which also makes me wonder why someone who is supposed to be letting us all know that we'll be destroyed in the near future would have us pay $28 to find out how it's going to happen. I'm not knocking Ms. Delicato, but I do appreciate your skepticism. In the interview, maybe the aliens will pick Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity next time. I doubt that. They never get a word in edgewise, would they? Maybe that's why they choose non-broadcast types. Otherwise, they'd just be sitting there. Take care. Sean, Sherry wrote, Ian, last night's show was interesting, but your guest presented some erroneous information on the Comet Holmes. Up until October 23rd, Comet Holmes was a very dim and uninteresting object. On October 24th, it suddenly brightened. At its brightest, it was about second magnitude, which is about as bright as the majority of the bright stars you see. There are actually many stars brighter than second magnitude, Sirius for one. She goes on more. Thank you, Sherry. Interesting points. Ian, my first abduction occurred when I was 24, writes Keith. Not by the tall whites or the little grays, but by a true believer zealot trying to sell me on his own brand of New Age revelations. I'm now 64 years old and have changed my mind a dozen times about all that above possibly true unexplained mystery stuff. But right now, I'm of the opinion that my mind is sound and I hold everything, including my own middle name, in suspended disbelief. And he writes in parentheses, I discovered late in life that it was misspelled on my birth certificate. I've known more people. We should do a special line some night for people who have found out that their name was something else when they were older. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we could do that tonight. Seriously, I've done this quiz. My father was one. He found out years later that his name on his birth certificate was not the name he'd always been told it was. And he's not alone. There are thousands of them. KB writes, thanks for another great show last night. I enjoyed Miriam's talk. Another guest trying to get the word out. How many of us will take it seriously? I, for one, have been having dreams where I am told to move to Montana. They don't tell me where in Montana, just Montana. I would love to know if either of you have heard of other people being told to move to Montana. Where in Montana? I would love to know. Western Montana feels okay to me. That's a big area. It sure is. I would go with the, I would stick around in some of the more residential areas. I get around a university town in Montana. It's a wonderful state, though. And either way, you'll always just be a few minutes from true beauty. Finally, dear Ian Punnett, what gives? I read on the web that Raleigh James was not going to be doing Coast to Coast anymore. Why have you run her off just like you ran off Art Bell? You're okay one day a week, but stop trying to take over the whole show. Signed, Simon. Simon, yes, I did in fact run off Art Bell. I've run off everybody off this show. I have that much power. I'm admitting it now. You've busted me. You exposed me. You named names. You raked muck. Now you've got me. I ran off Mike Siegel. I ran off Hilly Rose. I am a power mad super genius, and I'm in charge of everything. I'll be the first to admit it now. George Norrie is only on the weeknight shift because he amuses me. That's it. When I want to take over that, I'll just take over that too. And Simon, remember, too, you know, if you give me any more grief about it, if you keep talking about my secret about how I'm in charge of everybody and everybody here at Coast to Coast, I'll turn off Fast Blast. I can do that. I can do that with one blow of my left nostril. With my right nostril, I can turn off all the phones. So, just telling you. Remember who's in charge. East of the Rockies, Jeff is hanging on. Let's do open lines for the rest of this hour before Oberon Zell Ravenheart, our wizard, coming up next hour. Jeff?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is Jeff from St. Louis.
It's open lines. Where are you going to take us?
Well, first I want to make a quick comment about Ron Paul's comments about the Iran incident that happened last weekend.
Okay, what do you want to comment about his comments?
Him comparing it to the Gulf of Tonkin is irresponsible.
And okay.
He said that the U.S. ship were not a threat, was not in threat from those speedboats. But if you recall, it only took one small boat to almost destroy the USS Cold.
Well, let's agree to disagree this much, that if we go to war with Iran over some speedboats running around a battleship.
You see, they didn't. We didn't. He fired.
Hold on. Jeff, let me finish. I know you've got your opinion. If we do, if that's the kind of thing that draws us into a battle with Iran, then it would be like Gulf of Tonkin. If we don't, then it's not. So there you go. We end up agreeing. If we don't, then it's not. But if we end up going to war for something like that, that's going to get bad.
But you see, all they did was fire a couple of warning shots, and the speedboats took off. No one was talking about going to war over the speedboats and on the debate.
Okay.
And then my comment is about Guantanamo.
Yes.
Those people are treated really bad over there. I mean, three religiously sensitive meals a day, best health care, best being able to practice their religion over there. Those people are being treated really badly over there.
Well, you know what? Let's just say, hope you have the same plucky attitude should you ever be put in jail without ever having been convicted of anything. And that's the whole issue.
You mean trying to kill U.S. troops on the battlefield?
No, many of the people there haven't done anything on the battlefield. And that's part of the problem. And so the more you read about it, the more you go, you know what? This isn't the best of us. This isn't the best of our justice system. We shouldn't have to bend all these rules to make Guantanamo work, to me. Now, you can disagree, and you can feel like if we catch somebody when we think they're a terrorist, we can lock them up and find out later. I understand there's a lot of people that truly believe that. I happen to be one that doesn't, and I don't believe that's what this country was founded on, but that's just me. First, Peggy is in Washington on Coast to Coast AM. Peggy?
Hey, Ian. First of all, I totally have to disagree with that guy who said that you wrote off everybody else on the radio station. You need to get on more. I've only been a coast-to-coast listener for about a year, and I look forward to hearing you.
Thank you.
Bring a lightness to the dark and depressing news that we hear every day. And the one thing I want to ask you is, what does that mean, that Latin phrase that you close the show with?
Oh, thank you. Well, that's very nice of you. But remember, and don't compromise my power. I am in charge. Okay. Don't help me spread this rumor that I am in charge of everybody and everything. Thank you. Now, with that in mind, as long as you've submitted to my authority, then I'll tell you, it just means God loves you in Latin.
Oh, and can you say that one time for me?
What? I'll say it tonight for you. Okay. Thanks, Peggy.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate that. It's very sweet of you. God bless you. And do we have time for one more? I think we do. Let me grab Blair, wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. We're doing open lines for the rest of this hour. Blair?
Hi.
Blair?
How come in Revelations, when Michael and his angels, you know, fought Lucifer's angels and a third were cast down to Earth, what our planet Earth to do that on?
Something very weird happened to the phone there. So I'm assuming that wasn't a GI thing. Can you hang on a second? I'm going to put you on hold, okay? Because I couldn't quite hear what you were saying, so I'll come back. Did everybody hear that, or was it just me? All right, so we'll come back to this. Open lines for the rest of this hour, and then our wizard friend coming up next hour, Oberon Zell Ravenheart, co-author of a book on the magical creatures of the world. It's called The Wizard's Bestiary, and I don't think you're going to want to miss this show. It's very well written and very comprehensive, And his personal experiences with these creatures are not to be underestimated. Coming up next hour, open lines now on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Doing open lines for the rest of this half hour. I had to truncate that call with Blair just because got distracted by a noise in the middle of his sentence, so couldn't quite hear him. Blair, you want to run that by me again? As long as it's open lines, where are you going to take us?
Sure, Ian. In the book of Revelation, you know, when Michael and his angels fought the other guys and one third of the bad guys were cast down, why the heck were they cast down on our planet?
Well, where would it have been better to throw them?
Well, I'm figuring since you are, you know, a man of the cloth, you might have some inside information. You can sort of help me out on that first.
Well, it's easy. I mean, if you want the real biblical answer, the issue is that you're talking about the battle with the dragon that happened up in heaven, and the dragon loses. And by the way, we'll be talking a little bit about dragons coming up next hour. The dragon in this case being the devil and or Satan, Earth was already Satan's territory. Remember, that's his role when Satan in the Bible was part of God's divine counsel. It was his job to walk the earth. He did it frequently, and it would report back to God. So,
yeah.
I mean, in a way, he kind of tossed him back into his office and said, you're no longer part of the company, or threw him in the parking lot of the place where he had already been working out in anyway. So,
well,
there you go.
Sort of unfair if the Christian precept that everybody here is the firstborn soul, there's no such thing as reincarnation. What a tough life. We got one life only to become self-realized. I'm reading Autobiography of a Yogi, by the way, and there's a lot of Christian concepts that Paramahansa Yogananda talks about, which is pretty cool.
But, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do for you. I'll take full responsibility for the Christian concepts that I talk about. Okay,
cool.
But I'm not going to take responsibility for 2,000 years of about a million different other opinions. Fair enough?
That sounds good. And also, okay. If I may say one last thing.
Go ahead.
The greatest line I found is John 14:12, when he says, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go unto the Father. So that means we're embryonic gods ourselves, right?
I don't know about embryonic gods, it sounds to me like we're all in a pretty good shape, and I like the sound of that. We'll come back. The rest of Open Lines next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Open Lines before Wizardry next hour. Tim is in L.A. on Coast to Coast AM on a Sunday night. Tim, where are you going to take us?
Hey, Ian. Hello?
Right here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, you were talking about how corporations are going to start controlling or regulating our power systems for new homes and businesses, and the issue of privacy has come up. You're bringing up the issue of privacy. So I have a solution. Instead of allowing corporations, like you said, which is fascism, to control the power, why not regulate? Why not tell corporate, you know, businesses or even new homes to put in solar power, because they could use all the electricity they want and then still return electricity back to the grid.
I have no problem with that. I mean, I think for the amount of money that we spend on a lot of different government programs, we could have put geothermal in half the homes of the United States, and it would be there permanently.
Right, I mean, the issue of privacy wouldn't be a problem, because the electricity we create from either wind or, like, it's a geothermal or from the sun would go back to the grid, whatever power we don't use. And we don't have to worry about brownouts or blackouts like they do in California.
There you go. Yep.
Thank you.
Preaching to the choir. I mean, I'm all about that. Let me get to Sean in Canada on Coast to Coast AM. Sean?
Ian, great pleasure finally getting to talk to you.
Thank you.
Big
you
fan.
Too. Where are you going to take us?
Well, listen, your guest last night totally sent shivers down my spine.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, the problem I think a lot of people might have had with her is her vagueness about some of the points she was raising.
I struggled with that, too. I hope you heard. We're talking about the subject of an alien abduction in 1988.
I'll lay this out as best I can.
Okay.
I'm precognitive, which means I get it 24/7.
Okay.
It's always 100% accurate, but very large space there. It's what's in my mind's eye, not necessarily what's actually happening. Okay?
Okay.
I send back TV shows, I meet people, I get names, places, faces, but sometimes I'm not sure whether it's me or whether it's something I'm seeing in my imagination, which is, you know, par excellence. You know, like, I mean, I can go from the waking state directly into the dream state and remain conscious. I can do addition in my head. I know where I am. Okay, I go through all the different levels. You know what I mean? Like, I've had so many different kinds of paranormal experiences
mm-hmm.
that I can kind of gauge them.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, I'm not, I'd have to talk to her, obviously, right? But I get the feeling that this could have, it has elements of precognition in it. And the reason that she's vague on it is because she doesn't exactly know. Because she's getting that information from a different point in the timeline.
You might be right.
That's my feel on it.
It's over my head in how, figuring out, other than I agree with you that it was, what was supposed to be a planet-saving revelation, I could have used a few more specifics.
I'll just say this. There is something really massive coming down the pike, and I've known it since I was a kid. And I don't know what it is she was talking. I can't say exactly, but a lot of the stuff that she was talking about, I know what she's talking about.
But then you're not any more specific than her.
Yeah. Well, what the heck can you say? You know, like
you're dealing
with people and flaws and failings.
I guess, like, but it doesn't seem like. I guess, Sean, to put a name on it, it just doesn't seem any more special. I mean, the rest of us can sit around. And we can let our imaginations wander, and we can concoct scenarios of things that might happen or feelings that we have.
I'll say this.
Okay.
Specifically. I'm dreaming, and I'm running around, and I'm waving a badge, and I'm shooting people, and I'm roughing people up, and I'm Mr. Cop Guy. And I wake up going, what the hell was that? And I'm thinking, what a bunch of junk. I'm never going to be a cop. I'm not like that. 2 or 3 years later, I'm watching a brand new video. I've never seen it. Massive deja vu stops me in my tracks. Suddenly, I remember the dream. Point for point, I'm in the same thing. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the dream. It's the dream of the movie that gets sent back. So in that sense, it can be very inexact. And that's why I think maybe she was couching a lot of the things she says. See, some people, they have dreams and they think they're real. I lose the dream.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, and I appreciate that, Sean. And I will say this much, that when you're telling people the end is near, and we're within months, if not years, of 2/3 of the population being destroyed, I think some more specifics are in order. That's all. And if it's not, if you don't have them, then wait till you get them, and then let people know. Because the rest of it is just sort of this very scary thing for some people without any remedy. Let me get to Levi, west of the Rockies in Wyoming on Coast to Coast AM. Levi?
Hey, Ian, how's it going? Got something
good
for you.
What's that? Oh, thank you. I do love that.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
On Montana there, it's a good place. I lived there for years, and Maury Toy channeled some maps that said Missoula was going to be a golden city in the future. So,
Missoula?
Yeah, and it's a college town, too. Good town.
Yeah, I like Missoula. I've been in Missoula. Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. Anyway, about it, Ian. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from the truckers, and I love it when they blast it. Hey, Bill is in Van Nuys, California. We have open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Barnett?
Good. We've got a great wizard coming up next hour. I'm looking forward to the show. But where are you going to take us?
Okay. Well, last night's guest, I mean, she just about put me to sleep.
The last caller said, you were somewhere between a waking state and a dream state by listening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I work at night. I retired one time and went back to work here because I got tired of sitting around the house for 3 months and watching cable TV and, you know, and doing nothing with myself. So I went back to work. But anyway, she just, like, went to this, went here, went there, went everywhere. I mean, I couldn't make no sense out of her or make comprehension at my age. I just didn't understand or something. I mean,
well, I'm hoping that she'll have, we're talking about Miriam Delicato, our guest last night, and if she gets visited again, this time she'll bring a notepad with her, and she can jot those things down so that when they're telling her, when the alien, the tall blonde ones are telling her all these things that we're supposed to know, that she remembers what it is she's supposed to tell us.
So, yeah. I mean, do something. I mean, you know, don't sit there and go,
I did the best we could, and thank you, Bill, and you're welcome to jump in, and everybody has a right to decide whether that show was for them or not, or their critical minds took them one way or another with that program. I don't question her sincerity. I just wish he'd come back with a little piece of paper that said, while you had been abducted, and then there were some notes afterward. Would have been good. Bill is in Las Vegas. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Ian. It's such a pleasure. First time talking to you, having talked with Art and George before.
Good. You've collected all three. Go ahead.
Just to find out that you're a man of the cloth. Wow, that was great to know. I can actually add an extra dimension to my comments on a couple of points you made pertaining to, for example, privacy and how the society is being systematically enslaved into the beast system. Just to touch on two points, you were talking about the RFID chip, which could also be labeled an electronic leash for everyone.
Right.
And or the issue of people's thermostats being controlled electronically by others who aren't even mentioned. But we know that we're talking about power companies and ultimately the beast system. That is a call to, it seems to me, it's a call for everyone to get off the grid. And as far as the ID chips go, of course, it's going to be touted as a wonderful way to protect the children. And consequently, that would be an innocuous way to get everybody else to use them. But that's just...
If people want to do that voluntarily, I'm fine with that. If there are parents out there that are worried about their child or abduction, you know, for whatever source, I totally get that. But yeah, it's the mandatory stuff that's really old.
Voluntarily, it's got to be done voluntarily. Right. You know, they have to ascend to that mark of the beast or whatever is.
Well, I don't know about.
Say that is the mark of the beast.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know whether
the beast is in the mind. You know, it's a deception. Right. Whereas, you know, you have 1 Corinthians 15:52 mentioning that it's at the last trump that the translation takes place. People don't realize that the rapture doctrine, people think that they're going to be taken out before the beast comes. That's a mark in itself, leading people right into the bed of Babylon, the great whore.
We'll leave it there on the word whore. And God bless you, Bill. I appreciate the comment. And I'll just say, too, just for the record, just for clarity's sake, I'm not ordained yet. So I'm not a man of the cloth. I'm in the process. I'm almost there. I'm a man of the loincloth, maybe, but I'm not there yet. Let me get to John, who's in Green Bay. He's got to be feeling pretty good about those Packers right now. John?
Oh, yeah. Packers are going to be the future Super Bowl champs, but don't worry, Ian. I'm sure the Vikings will win the big one one day.
Hey, you know what?
If they join the AFL.
I'll tell you something. No. Yeah. First of all, I have two teams in the NFC North. I have the Vikings and I have the Bears. And my Super Bowl came this year when the Bears beat the Packers twice. That was better. That was better than a Super Bowl because the Bears could never meet the Packers in the Super Bowl, but they could beat them twice in the same season. That was great. So,
The Vikings and the Bears will be watching the Packers from their couch.
Yeah.
So.
just like the Packers did last year with the Bears. It's fine. Yeah. Well, they're not there yet though, John. So hang in there. All right, where are you going to take us?
Okay, well, that article that you read last night about how they think, or there's a theory that the dinosaurs got wiped out by disease.
Well, by insects specifically, and or disease borne by insects or weakened by insects and then wiped out by something else. Actually, that story is on the website tonight, but it's also on my blog. Yeah, what about it?
Okay. So now with that theory, does that mean that there was no such thing as the Ice Age?
No, let's not get our periods mixed up. The Ice Age comes later on, after. Yeah, we're talking about the Cretaceous period. There was still, the dinosaurs were still, in some cases, there had been no massive kill off yet.
Oh,
so
I see.
The Ice Age kills off a lot of the mammals.
Okay.
And you have some survivors, obviously, but it minimizes the growth of the planet for a while, but it's slightly different.
Alrighty. And I got one more quick thing to say. That email you read from Simon, and then your response to that, where you was all like this mighty, powerful, evil genius.
Right. Yes, I am.
I thought that was pretty funny. So I'm going to make a shirt that says the only reason why I'm still here is because Ian Punnett allows me to be
That's
here.
That's exactly right. You serve it. You serve it my pleasure, John. Just remember that. And I'm not saying I'm not going to fire you if the Packers win the Super Bowl. So you really are on a. You got a short tether there. Enjoy it while you have a job. Ryan is on the international line in Ontario on Coast to Coast AM. Ryan.
Hello, Ian. It's my first time talking to you.
Glad to have you.
And the upcoming guest, I had a preemptive question for him, and it was regarding the effect of an environment on a species.
Okay.
Like, kind of like a goldfish in a bowl. You put him in a bigger tank, he gets bigger. And I've taken many spiritual retreats near hidden windows, sort of forbidden places, and I've seen some unusual creatures, especially in size, like a snapping turtle the size of my kitchen table and like this, so...
Okay. Is a preemptive question intended to stop me from him asking that answering that question, or?
Oh, no, I just find it the most fascinating, or one of the fascinating pieces of puzzles on unusual animals.
Fair enough.
Mainly the animal behavior is much different in certain environments, and hence the reason I take a spiritual retreat in a forbidden environment.
I like that. That sounds very interesting. Well, I'll run that by him coming up. In just a minute, and we'll see what we get. We still have time to get David in Chicago on Coast to Coast AM. David?
Good evening. 2 points. Before you go through with taking up the cloth of the priesthood, you should always remember that there's no proof that Moses or any of the prophets weren't under, say, the influence of hallucinogenic mushroom or something in their diet and got visions from God, at least they thought. So that's always in the back of my mind, and then it should be in everyone's mind, and
that Moses was on psilocybin, that he was...
You never know. He might have eaten a berry that he shouldn't have eaten, so that's something to consider. But the reason why I called is that habeas corpus has gone the way of the dinosaurs, really, with Guantanamo and everything like that. To have the president and the White House have the power to declare anyone any American citizen, an enemy combatant, without a trial means that they're convicting some people of something without the trial process. And then to hold them with the potential of indefinite detention is meaning that we're setting a standard for the world where habeas corpus becomes a mere formality and a nuisance for the governmental systems. So there's a big danger and a precedent that's been set by the Military Tribunal Commissions Act and other acts, and I believe we've lost our not only the rights to be secure in our home, our papers, our ideas, and our property through the spying on us through the phone systems and whatnot, but we've also lost the control of limited government power. And what's happened is that we've really ceded over through our Congress power to the executive branch to where it's become a unitarian system of tyranny, almost. And I think we really need to return to the foundations that made us the great country of democracy and freedom for the sovereignty of the citizen, not for the sovereignty of the government. How do you feel on that?
Well, yes. That's all I have time for because we're out. But thanks, David. I mean, it's a much... smarter answer than the one I gave earlier, I'm sure. Let's come up with some of those, too, later on. Maybe we get back to open lines coming up later on tonight. But somehow I doubt it. I have a feeling we're going to be quite caught up with this next guest. He's a wizard, and he knows what he's talking about. It's quite a book. And I find it very entertaining. I hope you do, too. Oberon Zell Ravenheart, co-author of The Wizard's Bestiary, next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.